If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, and as you do so, think back over the important days of your life, the important days of your life. Maybe it was that first day in school or the day you got your driver's license. Maybe it was when you graduated from school or took that first date with your spouse. Maybe your important day was when a child was born or a move was made. Maybe it was the day you took that job or the day you retired. There are many important days in life. What did you do to prepare for them? How did you live toward that day? We're going to look at the next passage following last Sunday's message. In the first part of Ephesians 4, Paul told us to become mature believers, using the spiritual gift God gave us to do our part in reproducing and completing the church, the body of Christ. As he continued, Paul explained why, then telling us how to prepare for the most important day in your life as a follower of Christ. That day is the day of redemption. Live toward that day. Let's read. We're going to start in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 17. Paul says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, that you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Live toward that day by fully becoming who you are in Christ. This is a change of identity. This is putting off the old self, as he says, and putting on the new self. This is a change of identity. Who you were before coming to Christ and who you are after coming to Christ are different people. There's a change when you come to Christ. Paul begins this section by first commanding us to walk no longer, live no longer as the Gentiles do. Your life after coming to Christ should be different than it was before Christ, and different than the lost people around you. But you know, we humans have a herd mentality about us, don't we? Any of y'all wearing bell bottoms this morning? Now let me tell you, when I was about 18 years old, everybody had bell bottoms on. We live in a herd mentality kind of world. We all want to do what everybody else is doing. And Paul is saying to us, live differently than the world does. Lost people live in the futility of their minds, thinking they know best, thinking they know right from wrong, thinking they know what is ultimately and eternally most important. And lost people think that way because of the darkness of their understanding. He says, live differently. Live differently. The lost, Gentiles, Paul calls them here, are incapable of apprehending ultimate truth. And their thinking then has led to hard hearts, which led to becoming hard, callous people who are consumed by sensuality and every kind of impurity. Now remember, Ephesus was a sensuality-saturated environment. I dare you to turn on the television and watch a 30-minute situational comedy without there being some sort of anti-scriptural reference to sexuality. Can't do it. And he says, do not live that way. As a believer in Christ, a follower of Christ, he says, you did not learn Christ this way. Jesus is truth, and the Holy Spirit teaches truth. Your responsibility is to live toward that most important day by daily changing your identity. Paul uses the analogy of clothing. Put off, put on. Now, how many times do you wear multiple layers of clothing in the summertime? Yeah, we're going, Even in the wintertime, we may have one or two. But the idea is take your shirt off and put the new shirt on. How many of you wear the same clothing day after day after day after day? Good. And in the same way, we should put off the old self and put on the new self. And that's not a one-time thing. That is a day after day after day after day situation. And so he uses that. Put off the old self, put on the new self. Become who you are in Christ. It is a daily task and it is a daily challenge every day that God gives you after you come to Christ. If you think I have arrived as a follower of Christ, then you don't understand Christ. And you don't understand yourself. Because you need to become like Christ a little bit more every day. Become who you are in Christ. There's a lot of things in my life that I wish I could go back and do differently. I'm going to share with you the day, the occurrence that I am most ashamed of in my whole life. And if afterwards you say, that wasn't that big a deal, it is to me. Kim and I had been married a little over a year. We had graduated from Oklahoma Baptist University. Kim married a guy who thought he was big stuff. We had bought and moved into a house there in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. We had come home from a trip celebrating graduation and 1 year of marriage with what turned out to be, as I have said to you before, a living, breathing souvenir that the Lord used to change me drastically. When my wife was pregnant with our kid, she did not have morning sickness. She had all day sickness. It was a late summer Sunday evening when Kim asked me to make her some rice to eat. Plain rice. How hard is that? Not at all. But instead of serving my wife, instead of loving her as I professed to, I resisted. We had this big fight because I was too selfish to serve my wife, to serve my child, and ultimately to serve the Lord. I needed to become who I was. And the same is true this morning. Who are you? Who are you? I joke that I carry around a wallet with my driver's license to remember my name, but I know who I am. I need to become who I am, and you need to become who you are in Christ. And if you are a believer in Christ, if you have come to Him in confession and repentance, admitting that you don't have the answers, admitting that you don't know the way, then you are a new creature. And you are valuable. You are so valuable that He was willing to die to redeem you, to buy you back from your sin. So keep taking off the old self and putting on the new self. It's the way you thought, the things that used to be important to you, and keep putting on that new identity in Christ. Live toward that most important day. Live toward that day by fully becoming who you are in Christ, by fulfilling the roles and responsibilities He gives you. So this is a different way of living. This is how you are to live out your change of identity. Paul gets very practical, very convicting in verses 25 to 32. He says, quit lying to yourself and others. Lay aside falsehood. Speak truth to one another, because we are in this body of Christ together. And if something happens and you get angry, do not sin. Do not dwell on that anger. What happened? Who made you angry? Don't dwell on it. Let it go. That's what he says. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Let it go. Dwelling on what happened only gives the devil an opportunity. And then he says, if you're a thief, steal no more. In fact, instead, work so that you can have something to give other people. And if your language away from church is different, clean up your vocabulary. Do all this so that you do not grieve the Holy Spirit. As one commentator said, it is not a question of some offense aimed directly at the Spirit, but rather that believers, by committing the sort of sins that have been mentioned in the earlier sentences, sins which disrupt life in the community and church, are thereby disrupting and opposing the work of the Spirit in building up the church. So when a believer acts in a way that harms their brothers and sisters in Christ, God is hurt. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Sometime when I was in my 30s, and I had been a pastor for a number of years already, I came across a magazine article that said most men did not feel that they were mature men until they were 26 years old. And I thought, okay, that explains me. I had to quit being a punk kid, a selfish brat, and learn that life was not all about me. And I needed to learn to serve and lead my wife and my family. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning. And I will keep learning until the day I am fully redeemed. Maybe you've heard the expression, I have been saved, I am being saved, I will be saved. And this is what is meant by that. There was a time when you came to Christ in repentance and confession. I have been saved. But God is not done with you yet. He is still molding you to be like Christ. You are being saved. And there is a day when you will see Him face to face. And that is the day you will be saved. This is the idea of redemption. You have been redeemed from your sin and its due penalty, and you are being redeemed from your sin day by day as you grow up in Christ. But ultimately, finally, you will be redeemed when either Christ comes and takes us home or you stand before Him, sealed for that day of redemption. Live toward that day of redemption. Prepare for it. Grow in Christ. Become all God intends for you to be. Live toward that day of redemption. Fulfill the roles and responsibility He gives. Live toward that day of redemption. This morning, my question to you is how do you need to respond to Him? in what His Word tells us. I take seriously what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 about the Lord's Supper, not to partake of it in an unworthy fashion. So, Lord, continue to search our hearts. As we respond to Him, let's pray first. Father, we have gathered this day to worship. And we acknowledge You as true and faithful and right and King. Deal with us. Continue to deal with us. Father, we have gathered to worship You. Thank You for Christ coming. Thank You for the redemption possible. Lord, may we live toward that day of ultimate, final redemption in a way that's pleasing to You. We've gathered in Christ's name to worship. Amen.